This is the only hour that ever was or ever will be. For during this hour, you will decide your future and thus our collective futures. You're listening to the Hour of the Time, and I'm William Cooper. And out here in paradise, I'm on my knees. Boy, that's a message that's being delivered all over this country to politicians, and they're not listening, folks. They're not listening. They're not listening because they don't give a damn, my dear Scarlett. They just flat don't give a damn. I received a telephone call just the other day. It was very interesting, from a woman in Minnesota who was wanting to know if I was interested in a bill which would straighten out our economy and put us on the right track again. Of course, I said yes. Been looking for such a thing for quite some time, and she told me about her friend, G.K. Soderberg, an associate with the Coalition to Reform Money, and asked me if I would like to receive a package from Ms. Soderberg containing this legislation and what they're all about and what they're doing. Well, I don't know how this happened, folks, but it seemed like I just hung up the phone and Annie walked in with this package of information from G.K. Soderbergh Associates Coalition to Reform Money. And, of course, I read this. I am extremely happy with it. I am going to relay to you what I have discovered here during this show. I'm going to read to you the entire content of the bill. But first, I'd like to read this letter. Dear Mr. Cooper, a friend of mine in Wisconsin who speaks highly of your knowledge, expertise, and patriotism suggested I contact you. We have researched, studied, and found the root cause of most of America's economic problems. Unlike all of those who went before us, we have also created a solution to the problem. It's the Money Reform Act, a step-by-step legislative plan to implement this solution that has been hand-delivered to every United States congressman as recently as February of this year. My friend says you have great ability and resources, including contacts that you might be willing to employ if you believed in a particular endeavor. I am asking if you might study and review the enclosed facts and give me a statement about how you feel about what we're doing and if there is any way you might help bring about the much needed change. Our economic situation in America is such that if we don't deal with it, it will deal with us. Monetizing infrastructure would allow for an economy in which all hard work is rewarded and is possible, unlike the mathematical impossibility of our current system. Thank you for your time. I am sincerely G.K. Soderbergh, Associate Coalition to Reform Money. If you'd like to write to Ms. Soderbergh, let me give you the address. It's 2410 4th Drive Southwest. That's 2410 4th Drive Southwest, Austin, Minnesota, 55912. That's 2410 4th Drive Southwest, Austin, Minnesota, 55912. Her name again is G.K. Soderbergh, S-O-D-E-R-B-E-R-G, Associate, the Coalition to Reform Money. Ms. Soderbergh, I was extremely impressed and delighted with this package that you have sent to us, and I'm going to relay this information to our listening audience. I know my listening audience, and I know they are going to be as equally delighted and satisfied as I am, and we are going to build a political base to get this passed through Congress. And I want you to all listen carefully because I want you all to go to work on this. This could be the answer to every prayer that we've had for quite some time concerning the economic condition that we find ourselves in today. Now, those of you who have been a listener of this show, The Hour of the Time, for quite some time, then you've heard the programs that I've done on the Federal Reserve and the Internal Revenue System, that they are both private corporations and are not agencies of the federal government any more than Federal Dry Cleaners is. And that at the root cause of all of the problems that we are having economically in this country can be found on the doorstep of the Federal Reserve. Now, this is an actual bill. It is actually written up as legislation. It is ready to be presented on the floor of the House, or the floor of the Senate, for that matter. It is in a final form. It is written up in legal form. I can find no fault with this. I'm going to read it to you now. We're going to make copies of this available for anybody who wants it. Send us a $5 donation and a large 8.5 by 11 manila envelope. You better put a dollar postage on it because we're going to send you a whole bunch of stuff here. And send us a $5 donation. Use a large manila 8.5 by 11 manila envelope with $1 postage on the envelope. Send that to us and we'll send this back to you. Okay. to amend the Federal Reserve Act in order to secure for the American people their right to life, liberty, and property, and to provide for them a constitutionally accurate, sound, safe, and honest medium of exchange, that their endeavors in agriculture, industry, and commerce may prosper. In the House of Representatives, blank, 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 all that needs to be filled in by the legislators. Introduce the following bill, which was referred to the committee on blank, blank, a bill. To amend the Federal Reserve Act in order to secure for the American people their right to life, liberty, and property, and to provide for them a constitutionally accurate, sound, safe, and honest medium of exchange, that their endeavors in agriculture, industry, and commerce may prosper. Be it enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled. Section 1, short title. This act may be cited as the Money Reform Act. Section 2, findings. The Congress finds that, 1, the creating of a huge national debt and the causing of bankruptcies and foreclosures is unnecessary, cruel, and inhuman. 2, this nation's great indebtedness was caused by Congress when they stopped coining the people's gold and silver bullion and enacted national laws which enabled the banking system to profitably create and issue money into circulation as interest-bearing loans. 3, the creation and establishment of the present Federal Reserve money system changed this nation from a wealth commodity monetary system into a debt credit monetary system. 4. The American people have incurred interest-bearing debts as the only means by which they may obtain money for conducting their business. 5. Complete control of the money supply equals complete control. The Federal Reserve possesses complete control over this nation's economy. They cause price inflation by creating money, credit, in the form of interest-bearing loans, and they cause recessions, declining production and rising unemployment, by reducing the number of loans they allow to be issued. 6. The Bureau of Printing and Engraving prints the currency bills and sells them to the Federal Reserve at no profit to the government, whereupon the banking system issues them into circulation as interest-bearing loans back to the government, to businesses, and to the public in general. 7. The American people have been deceived and defrauded by the Federal Reserve money system. This system compels them to perform labor, the fruit of which is taken from them through interest and taxation as an excuse for retiring the debt. A debt that would not even exist if Congress had not passed laws that debauched our currency and eliminated our constitutional wealth commodity-based money system. 8. The income tax is contrary to the spirit and intent of the original United States Constitution and Bill of Rights, and is only necessary to support and maintain public confidence in the Federal Reserve money system. Sufficient capital for the legitimate function of government can easily be collected through imposts, duties, and excises, with an emphasis on foreign imports. A minimal head tax could also be levied in proportion to the census, as further provided for in the Constitution. 9. The American people have been forced into a peonage position prohibited by the 13th Amendment. They are being forced against their will into ever-increasing and unpayable debt, thus placing them in involuntary servitude to the Federal Reserve banking system. 10. The mathematics of such a system of money creation clearly demonstrates that the debt must constantly increase, because with each loan, only the principal is created. Money needed to pay the interest is never created, therefore the money supply is increased only by the amount of the principal, while the indebtedness is increased by the principal plus the interest. 11. This nation is having over 1 million bankruptcies a year, and this number is steadily rising. The monetary system is collapsing, and it is clear that Congress has acted irresponsibly. 12. The reform of the monetary system as outlined in this act is necessary to ensure the American people of their right to life, liberty, and property, and to provide for them a constitutionally accurate, sound, safe, and honest medium of exchange, that their endeavors in agriculture, industry, and commerce may prosper. Section 3, Definitions. A. Debt credit money. Money that is originally created as an interest-bearing debt by monetizing securities, all Federal Reserve notes and checkbook credit money. B. Wealth commodity money. A medium of exchange having intrinsic value due to its usefulness for other purposes. In effect, substance, one commodity in exchange for another. The kind of money system established by the United States Constitution. C. Fractional banking. The process of creating money through commercial lending institutions based on bank reserves through the monetization of securities. Section 4. Abolition of the Federal Reserve Board and the Open Market Committee. The Federal Reserve Board and the Open Market Committee are hereby abolished. Section 5. Prohibition of fractional banking, printing, use of certain notes, and the regulation of reserves. This act does not change the clearinghouse function of the present banking system. However, upon enactment, Federal Reserve notes, national bank notes, and or state bank notes shall not be printed or issued as a medium of exchange. Federal Reserve notes which are in circulation at the time of the passage of this act shall be permitted to remain in circulation for a transition period of 6 months, during which time they shall be exchanged for United States Treasury bills. After this transition period, they shall not be used as legal tender for any debt, public or private. All fractional reserve banking practices are hereby declared unlawful and shall be forever prohibited. No bank shall create any money or medium of exchange in any form whatsoever. All banks shall be required to hold in their vaults at all times the full amount of any deposit made in either bill or coin form. All banks shall be free to act as brokers between savers and borrowers. Section 6. Evidences of indebtedness delivered to United States Treasury. All securities, notes, bonds, or other evidences of indebtedness of the United States now held by the Federal Reserve banking system and regardless of the type or issue shall be delivered to the United States Treasury, whereupon appropriate action shall be taken to cancel them out of existence. Section 7. Individual evidences of indebtedness to be honored. All government securities, notes, bonds, and other evidences of indebtedness held by natural-born individuals, their heirs or assignees, who are not members of families holding stock in the Federal Reserve System, shall be honored and paid out of the United States Treasury. Section 8. Foreign evidences of indebtedness dealt with in a manner most likely to promote peace, safety, and goodwill for America. All foreign-held securities, notes, bonds, and all other obligations owed by or to the United States shall be canceled, collected, or paid in a manner most likely to promote peace, safety, and goodwill for the people of the States United. Section 9. Account taken of remaining indebtedness. Having completed Section 6, 7, and 8 of this Act, an account shall be taken of the total remaining debt, both public and private, for the purpose of fulfilling the provisions outlined in Section 17 of this Act. Section 10, Audits to Determine Excess Profits and Excess Profit Tax Levied. Within 3 years after this enactment, there shall have been completed an audit of all financial organizations that have practiced fractional banking at any time during the 7 years prior to said enactment. An excess profits tax shall then be levied equal to the amount of excess profit received during the aforesaid time period, and afterward it should continue in effect until the outstanding debt referred to in Section 9 is paid. Excess profit shall be defined as any amount over and above the average national per capita income. Excess profits tax shall be payable over a 7 year period following the audit, in gold or silver bullion at the opening spot market price on the day payment is due. Excess profits tax shall be payable to the United States Treasury in order that these commodity holdings should be replenished. Section 11. Gold and silver holdings frozen. The gold and silver holdings of the United States Treasury shall hereby remain frozen until the point in time outlined in Section 17 is reached. Section 12. The Internal Revenue Service and Income Tax abolished. The Internal Revenue Service and the Income Tax are hereby abolished. All taxes shall be levied in accordance with the Constitution for the United States and Bill of Rights. Section 13. The United States Treasury under the control of Congress. The United States Treasury shall be under the control of the Congress and shall be administered by the member of the President's Cabinet known as the Secretary of the Treasury. Section 14. Issuance of interim coins and bills. The government of the states united through the United States Treasury shall coin, print, and issue a medium of exchange to the people for their use until a true commodity money is established. The coins and bills shall have engraved and printed upon their face the words, United States Treasury. Said coins and bills shall be legal tender at their face value for all public and private debts and shall be issued for and secured by labor and materials used in the construction of public roads and bridges. Together, the coins and our bills shall be denominated from 1 cent to $100,000. Section 15. Interim money to be issued interest and debt-free. Each city, township, county, and state, through their elected officials and in coordination with each other, shall decide what roads need to be constructed, maintained, and repaired, as is now done. The unit of government making a request for funds shall prepare a detailed written description of the planned project or projects. A copy of that document, along with a formal written request for the needed funds, shall be sent to the United States Treasury. The Treasury shall then coin or print said money and issue it directly to the unit of government which requested it. Section 16. Interim money spent into circulation. The cities, townships, counties, or states would then spend interim money into circulation to pay for the construction, maintenance, and repair of their roads and bridges. Section 17. From interim to commodity money. When the amount of interim money issued equals the amount predetermined under Section 9, the ratio between the gold and silver holdings of the United States Treasury shall then be determined and divided accordingly into the corresponding amount of interim money. All interim money shall then be redeemable for the determined amount of gold and silver held by the United States Treasury. Bills of exchange may be accepted at the option of the person redeeming the United States Treasury bills or coins. Section 18. The dollar defined. After the terms of Section 17 have been met, Congress shall define by law a dollar as being a unit of measure containing a certain amount of weight and purity, irrespective of the substance it consists of. Section 19. Crime defined and punishment established. Any person violating any provision of this act shall be deemed guilty of a felony and shall make restitution. Any violation of this act which results in the debasement of currency may be punishable by death. Section 20. All inconsistent acts repealed. All acts are parts of acts inconsistent with the provisions of this act are hereby repealed. Section 21. Implementation. Public hearings shall be held throughout the states in each congressional district to allow the people to interact and work with their representatives on the particulars of implementing the provisions of this act. And then the last page, folks, is a thing that is sent in with this, I guess. It says, yes, we agree that there needs to be a major change in our United States monetary system. We pledge to support the Coalition for Monetary Reform with a monthly donation. We pledge the amount of blank so that they may maintain a representative in Washington, D.C., name, address, phone number. Please fill in and return with your donation to Coalition for Monetary Reform. And there are other things here. This is a letter from Henry B. Gonzalez to Mr. Dorgan, it looks like. It says, I have received your letter concerning your constituent Byron Dale and his proposal pertaining to the national debt. I'm taking the liberty of forwarding his correspondence to the Honorable Stephen Neal, Chairman of the Subcommittee on Domestic Monetary Policy. This subcommittee has jurisdiction over monetary policy, and I believe Chairman Neal would be interested in Mr. Dale's remarks. Once again, thank you for your consideration. If I can be of assistance in the future, please do not hesitate to contact my office with best wishes. I am sincerely Henry B. Gonzalez, Chairman. And here, this is Timothy J. Penny. Byron, I very much enjoyed our recent discussion. I am intrigued by your analysis of our nation's monetary policy. I intend to further review this matter and hope to visit with you again. Signed, Tim. State of Minnesota, Office of the State Auditor. Dear Mr. Soderberg. Is this Mr. Soderberg or Ms. Soderberg? Well, I guess it doesn't matter at this stage. We'll find out as we go along. I was under the impression that it was Ms. Soderberg, but Mark B. Dayton is writing to Mr. G.K. Soderberg. Dear Mr. Soderberg, last month I responded to your letter regarding our nation's monetary policy. Although the Office of the State Auditor has no impact on establishing our nation's monetary policy, I appreciated your willingness to share your concerns with me. In my response, I noted that I found the information you provided both interesting and informative. In response to your more recent request for a clarification of my letter, I am pleased to comment in greater detail on the information you provided. Your initial letter demonstrated the amount of research you and your colleagues have undertaken. I appreciated your explanation of the history of our monetary policy and your concern about the apparent direction of our current monetary policy. The information you shared with me on increase in the number of bankruptcies in the United States was very informative, and your attempt to link the increase in bankruptcies to the problems with our nation's monetary policy was an interesting discussion. I found your proposed solution to the problems you identified with our nation's monetary policy also to be interesting. I hope our nation's policymakers who are able to impact our nation's monetary policy will take the time to consider your concerns and ideas. Once again, I wish you the best of luck in your efforts to share your concerns with our elected representatives in Washington, D.C. With best regards, sincerely, Mark B. Dayton, State Auditor, State of Minnesota, Office of the State Auditor. And there comes the afternoon airplane flying over the house. United States House of Representatives, Committee on Banking, Finance, and Urban Affairs. And actually, I better save this for after the break because we are right in the halfway point of the show. We've got to take our break now. Don't go away, folks. I'll be right back after this very short pause. Folks, this is William Cooper speaking to you on behalf of Swiss America Trading. Our good friends who stuck with us through thick or thin, who backed this show during the good times, during the hard times, never wavered. They paid for every moment of airtime except for one, and that was the show the other night that I paid for because it was my personal message to each of you. And I believe that had Craig Smith at Swiss America Trading known that I was going to do that, I think he would have insisted on paying for that airtime anyway. However, I would not have allowed it to happen. But these people are just like you and I. They care deeply about this country, about freedoms, about God. And yes, I mean that, about God. If you ever call Swiss America Trading and talk to Gene Miller or Craig Smith or any of the other good people there, you'll find that out really quick, that they really do care about you, about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, about freedom, and most of all, about God. They provide a service which is really the only method of protecting your assets that has really been absolute, safe and secure, proven throughout history. And of course, that's hard assets, gold and silver, in the form of bullion, coin, junk silver, whatever you want to call it. And they have other types of hard asset investments. Many we recommend, many we don't recommend, many we don't know anything about. But it's up to you to call and find out about these investments if you really care about your family. If you really care about your wife and your children and your grandchildren, if you want to be able to pass what you have gathered through the fruits of your labors, your assets, your property, if you want to save that and pass it on, then you need to call Swiss America Trading right now, folks, right this moment, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. And for the first 200 of you that call, of course, ask for it and you will receive Harry Figge's report on Tackle the Debt. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. While you're at it, mention my name and you'll also get a free newsletter entitled Protecting Your Future. That's 1-800-289-2646. 1-800-289-2646. By protecting your future, folks, you're protecting the future of the hour, of the time, and of course, freedom for the world. Call now 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. You'll be real happy that you did. A lot of pride, a lot of pride.
front porch to the backyard. You laugh and say hello and say goodbye. But some days are hard, like those kids don't prove. And the rain we play the same guitar. Oh, yes, it's hard time, hard time. Oh, on the same one.
Folks, if you'd like to have your own copy of this entire packet, including the bill that we want introduced in Congress, send us $5 and a self-addressed, stamped, large 8.5 by 11 manila envelope and put $1 postage on it. Send that to us and we'll forward all of this information out to you and we can all get to work. All of us, we need to get to work, folks. This is important. This is the best idea that I've seen on dealing with the Federal Reserve. And it was written by ordinary folks like you and I, for all of you people sitting out there always moaning that you're just one person and there's nothing that you can do. Bullshit. Okay? Let me read you this letter. This letter is from James A. Leach, ranking member of the United States House of Representatives Committee on Banking, Finance, and Urban Affairs, to the Honorable Jan Myers, U.S. House of Representatives, Washington, D.C. Dear Jan, thank you for forwarding Mr. Walter Myers' letter and attached proposed money reform acts concerning the overhaul of the Federal Reserve System. Presently, no legislative efforts to repeal the Federal Reserve Act are pending, but a number of legislative proposals have been introduced in Congress to make the Federal Reserve System more accountable and open in its formulation and implementation of monetary policy. Well, folks, I want you to listen carefully here how they know that there's a lot of people out here concerned about the Federal Reserve and we want it abolished. So they're trying to appease us by passing this legislation, which does absolutely nothing, nothing whatsoever. Just listen to this. On January the 5th, 1993, House Banking Committee Chairman Henry Gonzalez introduced H.R. 28, the Federal Reserve Accountability Act of 1993. Included in this legislation are provisions to require that the Federal Reserve Bank presidents be appointed by the President and confirmed by the Senate. H.R. 28 would also change the composition and the election of Federal Reserve boards of directors. It would require that Federal Open Market Committee, FOMC, meetings be videotaped and transcribed, and that both the videotape and the transcript be promptly released to the public. In addition, H.R. 28 would authorize the General Accounting Office to audit the Federal Reserve's monetary policy operations, and it would require that an annual independent audit be conducted of the Federal Reserve Board and the 12 Federal Reserve Banks. Now, that would give Congress a degree of accountability, or the Federal Reserve, make them, to a degree, accountable to Congress and to the President. But there are so many holes in that, folks, that it really would not change anything. I hope you understand that. That those are token pieces of legislation to try to appease us. And you know, from the time that a bill is introduced until the time it reaches its final form and is passed, a great many changes take place. I continue. Mr. Myers' letter and proposed legislation, however, go far beyond the reach of H.R. 28. Mr. Myers argues that the nation's economic crisis has been precipitated by the unconstitutional creation of our medium of exchange as a debt. He suggests that the creation and establishment of the present Federal Reserve money system changed this nation from a wealth commodity monetary system into a debt credit monetary system. Because a debt cannot be paid with more debt, the nation has reached a point where it can no longer produce new wealth to use as collateral fast enough to avoid the financial collapse we are witnessing. Accordingly, he proposes that the current medium of exchange based upon debt needs to be replaced with one representing wealth. Because the Federal Reserve System possesses complete control over the nation's economy with the power to cause price control, over the nation's economy with the power to cause price inflation by creating money in the form of interest-bearing loans, and the capability to cause recessions, declining production and rising unemployment, by reducing the number of loans issued, the Federal Reserve System should be abolished. Mr. Myers has clearly raised a valid point. Public and personal debt has reached unforeseen levels. The chairman of the Federal Reserve Board has testified that one of the greatest concerns facing the nation's future is low personal savings. America needs to start saving more and spending less, and at the same time provide incentives to increase such savings. Now, you see what you get from these people? What kind of sense does that make in a debt system? Savings aren't going to help anything. Nothing at all. It just increases the level by which they can practice their fractional reserve lending policies and put us into bankruptcy even quicker. And besides, they only pay 2% on savings accounts, and that doesn't help anyone. It's a joke. While some economists would agree that debt levels in this country are excessive, the banking committee must carefully consider proposals that could affect the formulation of our monetary policy. For that reason, the Banking Committee is reserving judgment on Mr. Myers' type of proposal and on H.R. 28 until the committee has had an opportunity to fully address the ramifications of enacting these types of proposals into law. Now, what that paragraph really means, folks, is that they've tabled all of this stuff, hoping that we'll forget about it, and according to tradition, American people usually do forget about it because they have such a short attention span. So that's what that really means. And his closing paragraph, I greatly appreciate your taking the time to inform me of Mr. Myers' proposals, and I will keep his views in mind for future Banking Committee consideration. Sincerely, James A. Leach, Ranking Member. And what that last paragraph means, folks, is I hope you've swallowed all my baloney. I hope I've flattered you enough. Kiss off, sucker, and don't bother me anymore. That's the way our politicians treat us, like little children bothering them in their study when we're not supposed to be in there, you see. But if everybody gets behind this Money Reform Act, if we force them to pass this, the benefits will be quick and they will be huge, and we will be out from under this debt enslavement collar that is around our neck at the present time. You see, if we proceed into bankruptcy and we are foreclosed upon, the New World Totalitarian Socialist Order will be here, in fact. Not in promise, but in fact. Will not be a threat, it will be a reality, folks. And all property will be transferred from the ownership of the American citizens to the international banking interests to pay off the debt of the nation. And since they will not be able to pay it all off, we will then become indentured servants to the New World Order. That's the way it works. My friends, that's the way it works. Now, what is this? Where does it come from? Well, according to all of this, it comes from what's called the Christian Party Tax and Monetary Reform Committee, Byron Dale, Chairman. Coalition for Tax and Money Reform, Monetary Reform Committee, Byron Dale, Chairman, P.O. Box 383, Epworth, Georgia, 30541. Here's a phone number here, phone 706-632-7822. That's 706-632-7822. Now, be very careful, folks, that you don't wind up joining something that has other agendas and other exterior motivations that you don't know anything about. The only thing that I am recommending here is this one thing, the Money Reform Act only. I do not endorse these people. I do not endorse their parties or their committees or their coalitions, period. You know me, I don't do that. So you take the necessary precautions to make sure that if you get involved with these coalitions and committees that you are doing the right thing. You will be doing the right thing, in my estimation, if you back and promote and shove this Money Reform Act down Congress's throat. We need to kick some butt, and we need to force this through, folks. This is promising. This is very promising. And if we can do it without any messing around with the Constitution, it will be even more promising. Now, because of the constitutional considerations, we have to be very careful about that. For somehow, in doing this, someone may bring up one of the many amendments to the Constitution, which they may say will prevent this unless those are changed. Okay. So, let's be very careful. What I am recommending is only this, period. The Money Reform Act, which I have read to you in its entirety in some of the letters that Congress and other people have written back commenting on this. Now, you all know what went wrong. In 1913, the Federal Reserve Act was pushed through in December when most of Congress was gone. It may even be an illegal act, we don't know, but it's an act. It's there. It established the Federal Reserve. It also established as a part of the law that the Federal Reserve could never be audited and that the Federal Reserve would be responsible and handle all the money supply of the United States of America. Congress abdicated their responsibilities under the Constitution and law and handed it over to those who would destroy this country and would enslave us all. And that's exactly, folks, what they have been doing. The Federal Reserve is not an agency of the United States government, and neither is any Federal Reserve Bank. Federal Reserve notes are fiat money, counterfeit. They are not constitutional money. The Constitution says that no state shall make in payment of debts anything other than gold or silver coin. And I could go on and on and on and on and on, but, you know, we're getting toward the end of the show. And I want to make sure that you understand just the very basics, folks. If you want to get the tapes we've done on the Federal Reserve, ask for an information packet and you can order those tapes. They're very affordable. $7.50 for CAGI members and for the rest of you. When we've been able to lower the price for the tapes down to $10 for everybody else, and it's postpaid. So, we're doing everything we can to cut corners here and to make it affordable for everybody to have tapes and videos and everything else. And, of course, we always give our best rates to CAGI members because CAGI members are the worker bees in this organization. And the organization is only a free, loose-knit organization of people who care about the exchange and proliferation of free-moving information of all kinds, whether it's true or false, no matter who wrote it, where it comes from, no matter what it espouses. All information should be available to every single person in this world at all times so they can become educated, so that they can learn the delusions, the deceptions, the manipulations, and the truth, and distinguish between those. And like we do here at CAGI, you should be doing the same thing. You see, we're always assembling two puzzles, and in between these two puzzles, we have a box with a big question mark on it. Every scrap of information we get either fits into one or the other of the puzzles or into the box with a question mark. One puzzle is the deception. We must know the deception so that we can fight it. The other puzzle is the truth. We are constantly assembling pieces of these two puzzles. Anything that we find that will not fit into either one of those puzzles goes into the box with a question mark until which time we can figure out which puzzle it belongs to. You know, as you're going through assembling a puzzle on a table, sometimes you find a piece that doesn't fit anywhere, so you have to put it to the side until you put some more pieces in the puzzle, and then all of a sudden you find where that piece goes. And sometimes the piece can be very deceptive because it has all the right colors and the right shape. It just doesn't fit. It's not right for that part of the puzzle. You should be doing the same thing, folks. Always. Don't throw any scrap of information out ever. Don't reject anything just because you don't agree with it. Does it fit your political or religious viewpoint, or because it's false? All information is valuable, and it all fits somewhere with the deception and the manipulations and the lies, or with the truth, or in the box with the question mark on it. Okay? Federal Reserve notes, folks, are an instrument of debt. They really tell you that someone owes somebody else some money, but it doesn't say who. You cannot go to a bank and exchange it for anything except another Federal Reserve note. They are, in effect, worthless. A scrap piece of paper is worth more than a Federal Reserve note because at least you can use it to write on. A Federal Reserve note is covered with ink, and you can't even write on the darn thing. Its worth is determined by how many fools are willing to accept it in exchange for something that is really worth something. You see, if you take 100,000 worthless Federal Reserve notes and give them to someone as payment for 160 acres of land, whoever has taken those Federal Reserve notes from you in exchange for the land has now accepted an instrument of debt as payment for the land, and this cannot be done. What that means is when you take the possession of the land, you don't truly and really own that land because you cannot pay a debt with a debt. You understand what I'm saying, folks? That since we began using Federal Reserve notes, everything that we have ever purchased with those notes, we do not truly own. And that's why we get certificates of title instead of the allodial title. That is why we get warrant deeds instead of allodial deeds, our patent deeds. Now, I know that's a little heavy for some of you who have not prepared yourself with the background of information that enables you to understand what it is that I just said. But consider this. In England, where a lord may own a huge estate, you will never see the crown come and take his land as payment of back taxes. He could owe $50 billion in back taxes. The crown cannot take his land because he possesses an allodial title to that land. Here in the United States, you possess a warrant deed. That warrants that there is a deed in existence, but you don't have it, folks. So when you become in arrears on your taxes for your land, your property, the state or the county or the city can come and take your land away from you in payment of those taxes because you, in effect, are not the true owner of that land. These are just some of the things that the Federal Reserve System has done to us. Never mind the fact that every time we borrow money and put it into circulation, it can never be paid back because we're being charged interest on that money, and the interest was never created along with the principal. And if everybody in this country went to pay off their debts tonight, right now, if they went to do that, there would not be one single dollar bill or coin left in this country, and all of the debts could not, in fact, be paid. The money, ladies and gentlemen, does not exist. Okay? Good night. And God bless each and every single one of you. All around, in my thoughts, you will be.
live.